Welcome to Talking with the Source, where we bring on well-known and local researchers from around the world to share their experiences and evidence.
Who knows that the moon missions were faked?
As soon as I said, I'll meet you, and she said, oh, darn it, I gotta check the door, make sure the door's locked, because I don't want to leave John's house unlocked. So she goes back to check the door. I go out to my vehicle, and I hear this god-awful scream.
Well, there are 63 races of grays. So most people only think there's one race, and when you say grays, it's a misinformation. There are 63 races. Out of those, one race is a negative extraterrestrial. And what I do is I group them in the negative and the positive. The positive wish to see humanity ascend.
What is your name? My name is Anthony.
Are you ready to unravel the mysteries of this podcast? Join us only on Talking with the Source. Live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and on all podcast listening platforms.
What's going on, everybody? This is AJ Capasso here from Talking with the Source. I'm the host and founder here with my best friend, Chris. Chris, what is up, my brother?
Not a lot. Been a good day.
Nice. We are missing one other brother right now. He is dealing with some things, so he's not going to be on the podcast for a little while. But we wish him the best, and we are praying with him right now for a good outcome. We love you, John, and we hope everything works out.
Absolutely. Anyway, and just for him, go Broncos.
Oh, geez. Come on. You know,
just for him.
Oh, man. You know what? Just for that, go Cowboys. All right. I don't know if we won or lost that Giants game, but hey, it's all good.
I think you won.
We won?
I think you won.
Good. Then there we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. I don't even watch football, but I like Cowboys since the 90s, but that's all good. But anyway, so we have an amazing guest today, man. I'm super excited to bring him in. This is a guest that I've wanted to have on for a very long time. But one thing I do want to talk about is a convention that's coming up that he has put together that I'm going to be speaking at. It is the Paranormal Legends Convention with special guests Chris McKinnell and Joe Frank from the Warren Legacy Foundation. It's going to be Sunday, October 20th, 2024, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are $30, children under 12 or 15. There's going to be a vendor fair, haunted artifact museum, psychics and mediums, paranormal workshops, which I'll be doing one, and investigations in a haunted jail. So it's in Newtown, Connecticut. You can go to www.edmondtownhall.org to find out more as well. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. So I can't wait to introduce this guest. His name is Nicholas Grossman. He's an amazing investigator and a veteran in the field. So let's bring him forward, man.
Right on.
Hey.
Nick, what's going on, my brother?
I put a spell on you. Hey, man, what's going on, everybody? Grateful to be here. Very cool podcast.
Thank you, man.
Watched a bunch of them already. And really grateful to be here. It's really cool. It's got good energy. This podcast has energy. It's got a good flow. You know what I mean?
Good vibe.
Good vibes. 100%.
It's an honor to have you on, man. So I can't thank you enough.
We already got Wonky jumping in.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, Chris, I don't know if you're able to, but if you could share this to Parapost Network, because I was having some problems connecting to it. But we are normally live on Parapost Network on Facebook. So definitely check that out. But Nick, as we get started, while Chris is doing that, wanted to ask you, what got you into the paranormal field, my friend?
Okay, so basically growing up, I grew up in Norwalk, Connecticut. And, you know, I remember at an early age, it would always usually happen after 9 o'clock at night. I would be laying in my bed and I would see, like, you know, spirits or creatures appear, like a doorway come out and appear. And the funny thing is, like, I had this mutt dog named Mandy, and she would sleep at my door. And I just, as I get older and start thinking about this, I realize I think the dog was trying to protect me from what was there. But no, I've had psychic experiences since my earliest thought. One of my earliest thoughts was in my other house in Norwalk. And, you know, you don't really remember thoughts of being in a crib as a child, but this one I remember, and I remember it so well. I remember the feeling that I got when these four glowing white silhouette beings were standing over my crib. And you know what? I just think that, you know, call me crazy. I have a lot. I think that they gave me gifts. That's what I think. That's not great. Because there's some explanation for it. And, you know, my partner, Bill Backlickner, I'll get into him soon, but we have very rare gifts, and it was very, very not a coincidence to meet somebody who basically does the same exact stuff. Wow. Magically. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy, but I'll get into him later. I got into this. It was traumatizing growing up with this. I'll be honest with you. I saw all sorts of, I remember seeing a bunch of demons coming out of the mirror. I don't even sleep with mirrors. I haven't slept with a mirror in my room for decades because of that. And I see like demons coming out of the mirror. Like these little demons, and they were like, they're coming out of the mirror. I've seen that. I've had objects being thrown. You know what's funny? My nephew just told me that he's seen like objects moving, and he said, "And Nana has a ghost." That's what he said. So I was kind of laughing. I was like, "Were you scared?" He was like, "No." The best thing about them is they make me paranormal gear out of toys. It's so funny. They're so
that's so cool.
But no, he saw it. So a few other people saw it. But I've had lots of stuff happen up there. And, you know, I figured fight fire with fire. So, you know, I started dabbling heavily into the occult. And, I got into some very dark things. You know, I did. Yeah. And it made everything worse. You know, I don't think I really did everything as thorough as I should, but it made everything worse. That's how I got into it. And then, you know, I started becoming less scared of these things. So, you know, I started becoming very less scared of them. So I almost started studying these things. And I have a whole book on this. That I want to publish soon about like the knowledge, the paranormal and the metaphysical knowledge that I learned from not being scared of these things anymore. And from, I'm telling you right now, every night, all until barely could sleep, I would see spirits and everything else, you know.
Wow.
It was traumatizing, and then I became less scared, and then I started understanding the metaphysics of how these things work. Like I just started understanding it. It's very, very strange. And that started from there. And the first place I think I went to was Union Cemetery in Easton. And I believe that was back in 2003. And that was the first place I did. And that place has tons of spirits. And then, you know, me and a former teammate of mine, Peter Sorrow from Ghost Storm, we went into Mansfield Training School, and that place is so awesome. We've had some miraculous experiences in there, and that's in Mansfield, Connecticut.
I've heard about that place.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's funny you mentioned about your nephew saying that and like about the demons coming through the mirrors and stuff like that, because there was an incident where my little cousin, she, at the time she was little, she's big now, but when she was little, she would always get scared coming in my room because I had this massive mirror in my room that was part of my bed, and it was behind my bed. And she said that basically she felt like something was always watching her every time she went into my room. And the house that I was in was my grandmother's, and it was very, very active. That's where I had all my experiences and how I got into this journey in that place, and having all the things being thrown across the room, stuff like that. So just like you had. And so it's great. It's crazy that you said that. But also Ethan, Union Cemetery, it's funny because now they're like actually like they said, I talked to the town, they say that they're actually prosecuting people for going in there after dark if you get caught. And I was very shocked. And they said that it was because of from the Warren stuff that how they came out very famously and like people were going there and like ruining graves and stuff. And you know, it's not, about that, you know, one. It's sad to hear that.
Yeah, I got a funny story about that. Is I think it Peter and myself, I think it was around 2006 one night. We actually, like jackasses, drove the car inside the Union Cemetery and parked at nighttime inside the cemetery. We weren't thinking very clearly. We got out. We were exploring. All of a sudden, we hear like a noise rustle in the bushes. And then all of a sudden, a spotlight gets shined on us. And they're like, all right, boys, come on out. So the guy was really giving us a hard time. He said he was going to tow our car. We were going to get a summons to go to court. He took our IDs. The guy went to his car. His partner comes out of the car. This is so funny. And he said, yeah, you know, I hate to do this to you guys, but ever since Lorraine and Ed Warren came here and they were doing their research and their towards people keep coming in. And then I said, what's Warren's? And he looked at me, like this, and he said, I'll be right back. And he went back to his car, and I heard him say, these boys don't know shit. Let them go.
Yeah.
Wow. That's street smart. That's like my street wisdom right there.
Did you really not know who they were?
I got them good right there with that one.
You did. Yep. Now, if you go back, now you're screwed. You told the story.
Stephanie Cemetery is another good one, too, in Monroe. That one's probably even better, to be honest, where Lorraine and Ed are actually buried. That's where the white lady, we had her cross the road, and I swerved my car. It was so real, and I had Diane and my camera guy Hector with us in the car, and I was driving them home, and this was going towards the highway from Monroe going towards Trumbull, and I got on there, and all of a sudden this white blanket flew across the road, and I swerved because it really was as real as my shirt. It really looked like a blanket or a sheet.
Yeah,
they saw a face. I just saw the sheet. So actually, every time I'm in the area, I get my phone and I put it on the dashboard. and I actually got something, you know. I think That's I got awesome. Her. Yeah, I think I got her. Cool. So, tons of experiences like that. This stuff is very real. We're going through an interdimensional shift right now. And what we're experiencing, a lot of people are starting to get open-minded with paranormal, and it's because like people are starting to naturally evolve into a clairvoyant type of a semi-clairvoyant type of consciousness, and that's why everybody's getting all this stuff, and it's like so common now that people are getting this. And you know, I think a lot of people could agree that there's definitely an energy shift going on, and we're evolving. I really do believe that. Definitely. You know, I think the solar flares have something to do with it. I think all this cosmic stuff has something to do with it.
Yes, I totally agree.
Have that question. Have you guys ever investigated in other countries? I think in the UK.
No, I haven't actually.
You have?
No, I wish. No, me neither. I wish I did. I wish someday I'll definitely get to that, but no, I never did that. No, believe it or not.
Kate's from the UK, so.
Yeah. Well, the UK is loaded. I know Italy is loaded with stuff.
Yeah.
I know the UK is popular for that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
The UK, I'm going to put it on the bucket list. There's so much stuff in New England and the East Coast, but. Definitely.
I'm from Colorado, so I need to get out there at some point.
I want to go to Colorado really badly.
Now you know somebody. Come and
cool. People are friendly over there.
Yeah.
You know, Colorado's cool.
But what you were saying before though about the the solar flares and everything like that, you're right. You know, Earth's going through a complete shift, and the energy is different. I mean, just by going out and grounding, you could feel the energy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some people, if you're sensitive like myself, you could feel the energy shift on the ground. You know what I mean? And the way that it feels compared to before. So you could feel that ascension or whatever you want to call it. Everyone becoming more aware of everything, more more open to the paranormal, more open to the supernatural experiences. And I believe it does have something to do with the cosmic stuff and some of the solar flares and stuff like that. Definitely, for sure.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of cosmic, I just wanted to announce that we're forming a team called Galactic Defense. We're going after extraterrestrials, UFO, and cryptids, and we're proud to have AJ on board with that as one of our psychics and probably a photographer at the same time. And, you know, we're going to be going on a long expedition, so get ready, my friend. We're going to be going on, we're going to be, we're going in. You know, we're getting these things, you know. And you know what, my theory, this is, with my film that I did for the past 4 years we've been filming, and my theory is this, a fisherman, the longer they wait, the longer they'll catch that big wise trout in the middle of the lake, if you know what I mean.
Exactly,
post at these three places, these three locations for 4 years. Most people will just go for the weekend and film, but we stayed at these locations. And, you know, we developed relationships with the spirits at these places. And there's one in particular, this one, the one in New Canaan. I'm just going to say it because it is.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So there is this lady. She is possessed. Actually, upstate Connecticut. I can't really say where, but we'll just say that.
Yeah.
Upstate Connecticut. There's a lady. She's possessed. And the entity inside her let us have hours and hours of interviewing her and asking questions. They had respect. They had like respect. We had a respect. So we have that on film, like a bunch of this, the entity said some wild things, and there was an incubus inside the house. Wow. And incubus is a spirit that sexually assaults, and a incubus is a male form and a succubus is a female. Anyway, you know, I think it was after a year or so going to her house, I was up upstairs and I was just taking a bunch of pictures. And I look, and I'm like, no fucking way. Excuse my French.
No, please. Don't worry.
The incubus is flashing me. I have a photo of this. I almost want to share it, but I don't know. I don't know how to use this format. But I almost want to share it, but I want to leave it for the film. But he has a smile on his face. He has like a top hat. He's all red, and he's flashing me. And it's just like, he's just basically, and I know that he didn't want, he was saying like, fuck you, you're not getting me. That's what it was. You might as well be flipping up the middle finger, but I have him doing that. So we get extreme evidence. And you know what? We get ourselves into some pretty dangerous situations. But, you know, it's not an adventure if it doesn't have a little zest of danger, you know. It's always going to be an adventure when you throw some danger.
Unless it goes a little too far.
Yeah.
We did. I ended up in the hospital one time, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hear you. Yeah. We don't want that. If a UFO comes down, though, I'm hitting the record button and walking in.
Absolutely. Me too.
Absolutely. 100% on that one, man. Yeah.
I forget. That's my dumb luck. I'd be
too busy. I mean, a taco with it or something. It's like, we're having a ball. You know what I mean?
Hell
like,
yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, I'm all about that, man. Like, I like to run towards danger, and I think that's my problem. But I love to run towards danger. So I mean, you know, you're the same way, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can go squatching out here in Colorado.
That's how you get the stuff. You know?
What'd you say, Chris?
You can go squatching out here in Colorado. Hunting Sasquatch.
We have that up here. I mean, I'm sure you have more in Colorado, but
I think we call them like Bigfoot here. But
those things are absolutely real. I caught something in Orange, Connecticut recently. I've been going there, and you know, those things are real. And I believe that they're interdimensional creatures, and they could shapeshift or disappear, and that's why nobody could find them. That's what I believe. My friend Colin Haskins is the cryptid guy of Connecticut, and you know, he goes all over Litchfield mainly, and there's a whole bunch of stuff up there. So,
Wow.
That's another thing we're excited to do. So
I like all that kind of stuff too. So.
Yeah. 100%.
Now talk a little bit about your background in the occult.
Okay. So yeah, I've studied a lot of dark things, in the occult, a lot of trial and error. Honestly, you know, I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that there's people that were given, abilities, if Christianity has like a magic to it, I'd like to consider myself some type of a Christian holy man or a shaman perhaps.
Yeah.
At this time in my life, but no, I have dabbled into some very, very dark things. One of the things that I still do is mirror scrying. And mirror scrying is when you hold candles to the mirror and you look at it and, you know, you get into a trance and your face starts changing to the entity. And actually we did that at Fright Haven. Charles Rosenay owned Fright Haven. I know you had him on here before, but
yeah.
He owned Fright Haven. And there was a upstairs where all the a mirrored room. It was like a old dance studio, but it was all mirrors, so it was perfect. And we set up about 50 chairs there, and I put like 100 candles in front of all the mirrors, and we bring the artifacts up. And after that, I put everybody into like a shamanic trance, and people were seeing their relatives coming out of the mirrors. It was very cutting edge. Wow. We did this again at the Bijou Theater, and recently we did this at Cadillac Ranch. That place is so cool. If you guys have never been there, it's a cool cowboy club. It's really cool, but they have mirrors over there, so we did it over there, and it was mind-blowing.
Wow. Now, I don't know if you know, yeah. Nick, but the candle actually gives off a 7 hertz frequency to it. I'm 100%. Not sure.
I'm not sure
if I figured you knew about that. But what's pretty cool about it is it actually puts your mind into like a theta state, which is great for receiving psychic type stuff, like for mirror scrying and stuff like that. So it's amazing that you use, you know, the candle and stuff. And a lot of people don't know that about the candle and how when people do meditate with candles.
Control the candle.
What was that?
You could control the flame on the candle too.
Oh, that's even awesome. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. Yeah. You know, if you have a candle and you put it about 4 feet from you and you really like concentrate on it and you have to feel the flame move to the left, move to the right, and it will slightly start doing it. And if you want the flame to go bigger, you could actually make it go bigger, but you could definitely control that stuff. And that's one of the things about my partner, Bill Backlechner. He's another one that you guys should definitely have on him. He's a wild dude. And we have this ability where we could actually zap people and they feel this energy hit them. And we heal tons of people, actually.
Wow.
We do like miraculous things. It all comes from the man above. I mean, we're more vessels. And he uses us. Yeah. That's the way I see it. We heal a lot of people at events. As a matter of fact, we go out in public and we see an injured person and we'll go up and say, do you mind if we do a healing on you? And 90% of the time we've been successful at it. I mean, I've been doing the healings for about 14 years now. I didn't really take it too serious until the past 2 years. And I'll tell you why. I always knew that it was real. But it was hard. I was like, I couldn't believe I'm actually healing an injured person. It was hard for me. I'm like, are these people just messing with me or not? But we had at Captain Grant's Inn, we had Sean Austin and, Charles was also part of that.
Yeah.
And there was an injured man and he said he had a severed knee. And I believe that that meant that the tendons were all beyond repair, and he could barely walk. He walked with a cane. It was hard for him to walk in the graveyard. And afterwards, I was doing healings on people, and he said, would you do one on me? And you know what? This was the big one. I never did a crippled person.
Yeah.
So So I was like, you know what? I was a little nervous about it. So I was like, you know what? Okay. I spent about 5 or 10 minutes on healing him. The guy gets up. He's jumping up and down the kitchen. He's dancing up and down the kitchen. That's when I realized, okay, this is real now. I mean, these people aren't messing with me. And then the guy walked around the whole property, and he offered me money, and I wouldn't accept his money for it. But we do a lot of healings. I also do psychic readings, and you know, we have an office opening up in Madison. It's a healing center, and I'm going to be doing it out of there.
That is amazing. Yeah. I can't wait to see what you do with that, man, because that is just absolutely amazing. Katie, she asked, what is your stance on the pentagram, Nicholas? What is your stance on that?
There is a ritual called the banishing ritual of the pentagram. That's pretty cool. And you know what? It's actually originally a Christian symbol of the five wounds of Jesus Christ, but also in the Wiccan religion, they use pentagram, and in the Druid. This is Christian Druid. Bill and myself are Christian Druids. That's what how I feel. I have always felt like that. There's a banishing ritual of the pentagram, and that's a Kabbalah meditation, and it's really good to get rid of like negative energy. It's like lighting sage times 10 when you do that, and it takes about 10 minutes to do. I think Wicca is very effective. I just worship one god, but the rituals that don't involve deities, I find them very effective, and I still do that.
I was about to ask that. I was like, how do you? I mean, I have other friends too, and I know what they do. I was gonna ask how you combine them.
Well, there's this one that I recently did, and because I, you know what, when you get public with this paranormal, and I talked to AJ also about this, there's a lot of haters. There's one that I did a month ago, and what you do is, okay, so you could either go to the butcher and get a cow's tongue, or you could get red clay, and you could make a tongue out of the clay. And what you do is you put sea salt on the tongue, and then you roll up the clay, or you fold, and then if you get a screw and you put it through the tongue, so it closes, so it will not be able to speak. And it really works. It's not, the magic comes from you. That's just a little tool to help you manifest. That's all it is. And it's just like, there's another one that's a great one. If you're having a problem with somebody at work, somebody's giving you a hard time, if you get a little jar of honey, and you get their picture, you put their name on it, and you put it inside the honey and unscrew the cap, that sweetens their personality. So it's very, most magic is, a lot of people think it's
the intent,
crazy demonic stuff, but it's not all like that. These are all folk magic type of stuff.
My aunt, you say anything paranormal, cryptid, you're the devil.
That's how
it was. You know, I'm 40. Going to be 44 years old this December. And when I was growing up in the 80s and the 90s, people were terrified. If you talked about doing magic, you were looked, people would think you were a freak. And so I kept it private.
Definitely. I completely understand that, man. I kept my experience private for a long time because of that reason, you know, because I thought I was going to be locked up in a loony bin, you know?
Nowadays it's open. So, it's a little different.
A lot more open.
And you know what? We accept people of all religious faiths. We don't judge anybody. My team, Ghost Storm, we're not a religious team. We're more of an evidence team. Everybody has their own belief that they believe in. We don't usually bring it to the table.
Absolutely. You know, we're the same way here at the show. Like, we believe, we have all faiths come on. Anyone come on, like, I was going to have my friend come on and speak about Hinduism, and we're actually might be having Dr. Colleen Darnell come on, who actually is a hieroglyphic reader for, she's on National Geographic, and she just basically speaks about Egypt. It's not really a paranormal type thing, but I want her to come on
so that'd be amazing, dude.
Different cultures, you know what I mean? So we're all about, you know, sharing different cultures, different ideas and stuff, and that's why I like doing this podcast, because we get to meet people like yourself. and other people from different backgrounds.
That's how you
and
met then, me, AJ. So,
yeah, you know, we get to learn from everybody, and I think it's a great, great thing. But Katie asked real quick, she goes, Wiccan is very interesting. What is your stance on Moonwater or of Moonwater?
It's definitely very powerful, and, you know, it's a process where you get like a nice crystal glass, and you could put usually a quartz crystal is good to put on the bottom of it. And the phases of the moon are very important for whatever intentional spell you do. And I definitely am a fan of that. Absolutely. That charges up. The water is supercharged when you do that. Actually, you could actually get pre-made bottles at that are made just for that. I live in West Haven.
There's pre-made ones, and I've heard it's cool.
Yeah, you said West Haven. Whereabouts?
Yeah, there's a place called Curious Goods in West Haven. I think they sell. Yeah. That place is really, really good.
Amazing place.
Yeah.
So then, what do you do with the moon water afterwards? Because I've never really. I mean, I've seen it, but not really. Do you drink it?
Or I mean, you drink it. You can put it back in a natural place like a river.
Okay.
You could bury it. But
just whatever you want to do with it.
Whatever, yeah. It's just a supercharged water.
Yeah. Definitely. Like I said, I've seen it online, but I've never really.
I want to show you guys something, though. I bring some surprises here, and I have some paranormal artifacts that I want to show everybody here.
Please explain. Let me
see if I could. There we go. There. So this came from Santeria Botanica. And she's a pretty darker witch. And there's a lot of spirit energy on this deity right here.
Yeah.
This is
cool. I like that one.
Thank you. This is a Papa Legba bottle. And in voodoo and sometimes hoodoo, you know, it's a type of orishan, which is a type of spirit. It's not exactly a god or a goddess. But a lot of times people, when they put their hand on there, and I feel it right now, it has this pulling sensation, like it's trying to pull you down into the bottle. So there are artifacts that I have that actually do stuff.
Yeah.
And this is, a Tibetan Buddhist exorcism knife right here.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. That's it's actually awesome, made of copper, I believe. I don't even know. But
that is a beautiful piece right there.
This thing is a troublemaker.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got a story about this one. You know,
I'm going to say you're going to pull up Robert the Doll on us? Damn.
I wish. But this is ragtime, Sam. I got to fix his mouth. I have to drill a hole and fix his mouth. But, you know, when I had my museum in Ansonia, and right across from the armory, there's this white church, and I rented the space downstairs, and I had a museum. Unfortunately, the coronavirus and, you know, the fire marshal shut it down, and it was a nightmare. But, you know, I got this artifact, and, you know, I've never seen it do anything. And I do have a friend, two friends named Ed and Kathy, and they came to my museum, and you know, her husband Ed saw his chest expand like it was breathing, and he was completely fascinated by it, and I didn't see it. So when I bring this on stage with me, and I was doing a little speech about it, blah blah blah, I come off stage, I was signing people's books, so I put him down so I could sign the books. After I was done signing the books, I picked him up, and he wrapped his hand around the railing. I kid you not, I had to yank him in order to pull it out. And this is a great one. That same day, I had a hater, and he always used to walk by my artifacts and diss the artifacts. Oh, man. And that same day, he was wearing shorts, and he dissed the artifacts. And he came up to me and showed me this big scrape on his calf. And, you know, he said that the doll reached out and scratched him.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're going to make fun and
haters be hating, you know, haters be hating. paranormal haters be hating.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. I used to, now
I don't, though.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like in this field, Chris, you know this as well as anyone else, as well as we do, that this field has more, excuse my language, but hypocrites and people who are very much haters in this field of other people's success, very envy of other people's success. And it doesn't make any sense, because it's like, why wouldn't you want to, you know, be happy for the people that have the success? Because right. Not only that, maybe you get to work with them and learn from them and gain your knowledge from them if you just put down your ego for 1 second. And we go through this constantly. We've had it happen on our own show where we've had haters. Yep. And, you know, it's just something sad to see in this field, because if we all work together, can you imagine the power and energy that we can bring together as a fork? It would be
the saying, rising water raises all boats or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit difficult, but I agree, you know.
Yeah, it's very sad. You know, it's sad to see, but you know what? We do what we do, and we do what we can. You know what I mean? Right. And that's all we can do. So, so tell us, what is
the best thing to do is just let it be.
Let them
comment and all that. But no, we have the event at Edmond Town Hall. It's going to be phenomenal. Called Paranormal Legends. We have Chris McKinnell, who's the grandson of Ed and Lorraine Warren. We're flying him up from Paraguay. We have Joe Frankie. We have Bill Hall, who wrote the book on Lindsley Street, Bridgeport, Poltergeist. And we have you doing a lecture, a workshop. We have Ghost Hunts East. Terry Nolan, who's a good friend of mine, and Amanda, her daughter. We have another good friend, Two Brothers Extreme Paranormal. They're going to be doing a demo workshop. And we have Chrissy Chandler, who's a medium, and she's going to let Lorraine and Ed Warren go in her so people could ask them questions. It's going to be wild. Yeah, it's going to be cool. Intense. Bill Backlinkner is going to be doing ghost tours in the jail in the basement. The place is so cool. The building is so much fun to walk around there. You know, it's
awesome. Send me a ticket, Adrian. I want to come.
Where you guys are.
I know. So, wait, I want to ask you a question, man. What is one of the most frightening experiences that you've ever had as a veteran paranormal investigator?
Well, you know what? To be honest, you know, I'm so used to it now, but I will say this, that we have another case that we did for quite some time in Derby. It's a demon house, and it's right by that bar, Riverview Bar or Tavern or whatever it is, right over there.
Yep.
There's a bunch of houses on the hill. And if you go up there, there's this guy lives there, and he was a pyromaniac, and he's on the FBI's most wanted list.
Oh.
And he's out of jail, but he's still on their list of people to keep an eye on. So he's not allowed to have anything flammable in the house or anything. It's against the law for him to have this.
Yeah.
And you know, he was actually pretty cool, to be honest. And you know what? For some reason, I have this ability that I've met some pretty evil people doing paranormal cases, and I bring the good out in them. It's very strange. And, you know, this guy was very evil, and, you know, him and I bonded very great. He was completely chill around me.
That's awesome. But,
you know, he was sleeping one time, and I have this on video. It's part of the film. And he must have been dreaming, and all of a sudden we were upstairs, and all on the sheetrock, they started getting these burn marks on the sheetrock, and I'm gonna admit I was a little bit intimidated by that, because I'm like, this dude is like some fire starter thing going
on. That's what I'm about to say, a pyrokinetic crew.
So also you know, there's been some experiences in Bill Backlinkner used to own the most haunted house in Connecticut called the Zachariah Curtis House. It's pretty cool. And there we've had some pretty wild experiences in that one.
Wow. Absolutely. Wow. Please speak about some if you can.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, there's actually this Native American Indian tribe. There's spirits of them. And, you know, Bill gave an offering to them, and he has two of them following him around, and they protect him and do all this stuff. We were upstairs in the attic, and all of a sudden This was in the daylight, and I see this black shadow fly by his face. And I said, dude, that the spirit or the demon just flew by your face and out the window. And I saw it. And the interesting thing is, 5 minutes later, we went downstairs, and his whole face started swelling up. Oh, it was like, wow. He said it hit him in the face. So it really, really got him very good with a lot of things in there. Wow. But that one's in Trumbull, and it's on Nichols Avenue. It is owned by somebody else now, so I wouldn't suggest going. But we've had some very good ghosts. That was probably one of the best ghost tours that we've done.
Wow. That's amazing. I wonder if they're still experiencing. I wonder if they're still experiencing, activity there.
Yeah. It's under construction now. I know that.
Oh, that makes me better.
All sorts of stuff that goes down in that place.
Yep. Wow, we've man. Had wow.
40 people in one night one time going in there for a ghost tour, and there's all sorts of stuff happening to them. And it was one of the best ones we've ever done.
Chris, go ahead. Go ahead, man.
I'm good.
Okay. I wanted to ask. I just didn't want to keep talking over you. So.
No, you're great.
What do you use for equipment, man? What's your favorite equipment to use besides yourself?
Let me see here if I got it here.
Okay.
The batteries are dead on here.
You're qualifier, AJ.
Come on. This is called a Pulcher Script.
I love that.
Yeah, it's like an ovulus on steroids. Let's see if it might not have much batteries left. Let's see. But this thing is awesome. It's like an ovulus device on steroids.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have that too. Go to library here behind me.
You go to library here and you can use alphabet as well.
Wow.
And then you can adjust
the alphabet or the words.
Yeah, you can adjust the sensitivity here.
Yep.
Poltergeist.
Wow. It said poltergeist.
Wow.
Fact.
It said fact.
Wow.
Something's coming through. Could you say something to the host of the show? Something's coming. Need what?
Correct.
Need correct.
Drag. Illinois.
I don't know why I said it. Need correct. Drag Illinois. It could be just spitting out words, but when a spirit comes through, you'll know when you're going to get an intelligent response from it. It will start I've almost had full conversations.
Yeah, with same. With it. That's an amazing device.
It's amazing.
Kate, you're from Illinois. Maybe that means something to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be.
I'll keep it on.
But I'm more of a video guy. I do have equipment. I like the spirit box as well. But my thing is I just do infrared video. And, it's just whenever I get a catch of a ghost, it's like a big catch of a fisherman of a lifetime catch. And that's how I feel.
But, I call it ghost fishing a lot instead of ghost hunting because it's like
fishing. Exactly. You gotta sit there. Sometimes you catch one, sometimes you catch two, sometimes you catch a whole school, and sometimes it's a humble day and nothing happens.
Right. Just don't drink beer before you do it.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. You're absolutely right. That's the one thing that people, don't understand because of the TV shows that like not all the time are you going to get, evidence, and that's okay. But like you said, when you go to places like you have and you've been there for 4 years and you not just a weekend, you're going to, it's like fishing. You're going to end up getting something down the line. I mean?
Dudley Town is another.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. The last time we went, I took Bill up there. Bill Backlichter, my partner up there. Terry, his wife, and my wife, we went up there and we went hiking way off out in there. And there was animals all over the place. And, I've been doing Dudley Town for over 20 years. And, there is like a loophole to get in there. Technically, legally, I'm not going to say what it is, but there is, and I can't get too much into it because we've had the Dudley Town people send us a cease and desist for us to stop going on the radio, believe it or not. So I get stalked by the people who own the property, believe it or not. I actually have screenshot proof of being stalked by them. But Dudley Town is another wild place. I don't know if I'm going to go up there again. You know,
is that in Connecticut or?
It's in Cornwall, Connecticut.
Okay.
But I think
know nothing about back east town.
Up there, to be honest. But you know, I've seen creatures up there. I've had very bizarre experiences. One time I always say goodbye to the Dudley Town spirits. And one time I was walking down the mountain trail and I see this fern plant go up and down like it was waving goodbye to me. And I stood in front of it to make sure there was no wind. It was literally doing it by itself. Another time, another teammate, Anthony DiPietro, we were walking down Dudley Town and we walked down Dark Entry Road, and probably like a little less than half the way on the way out, this tree, this hundreds and hundreds, I don't even know how old the tree was, 1,000 years, I don't know. It fell for no reason.
Wow.
And Ian was like, do you realize what just happened? And it didn't really hit me. And I'm thinking to myself, that's such a rare thing to see.
Yeah.
It only happens in Dudley Town, this stuff. But no, the tree just literally plop. And it fell to its death. After hundreds of years, thousands, I don't even know. Wow. I mean, that's a very old forest up there.
Yeah.
So it's really ancient, that tree. And it fell. Yeah, I'll never forget that. The stuff.
That's it. And you know what though? That's a scary thing to happen too, because God forbid, you know, you were near it or something. You know, you didn't see it coming. That could have really hurt somebody too. Yeah. Also, but that's so wild that it happened.
Shoe or didn't it tie your shoe wherever it fell?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Definitely. So, go ahead, Chris. You have a question?
I did not. I had one for a second and I lost it.
I feel you, man. We're talking about so much right now. So
I don't know. It's amazing, though. This guy's amazing.
Nice, thanks, dude. Nick is a great man. I've been dying to have him on for a long time now, so I'm super happy and honored to have you, man. Thank you for spending the time with us. But
got it,
I wanted to ask, what other events are you putting on? I know you have an event that's coming up in Salem, Mass. You said, yeah,
Occult Paracon, and that's in Peabody on the Salem line. And it's at the Olio Theater. It's $20 a ticket. We have witches and warlocks and magical practitioners sharing what they believe in the afterlife. And because they have a whole different spin on it, a lot of them. And we want people to be aware, of that knowledge. And we're going to be displaying the Paranormal Artifact Museum at both places, in Edmond Town Hall and Occult Paracon. After that, we're probably going to be doing ghost tours, like running a bunch of ghost tours, and then we'll most likely do like a convention once or twice a year, you know, stuff. Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I love teaching people. I like sharing my knowledge with people on this stuff, and you know, it's definitely been, you know, a wild adventure. So
that's cool. Now, you have so much knowledge too, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you,
yeah, he does. One thing I did want to ask you, when we were talking on the phone, you know, we were talking about the afterlife a little bit and what happens, and is this a school or whatever? You know, why do we get reincarnated here? Why do we come in this physical existence? Out of all your knowledge, out of all the years of you doing this, what is your take on it? Your personal opinion on what is the afterlife and why we come here and everything like that, if you can maybe put a stance on it.
Yeah, you know, from my knowledge, I mean, this is a school. It's not to be taken too seriously. I don't care how bad your life is. This is a learning experience, and we have to learn lessons in order for us to have, like, we have birthdays here. We have birthdays here every year. We could consider our lifetime a birthday for the soul, and you grow up and mature. And this is school here, and it's really more of an illusion than anything else. And you do have somewhat control of the illusion going on here. But I do believe that there may be a hell, but I think it's for very bad people, and I think it's only temporary. And I think that's a learning experience too.
Yeah,
afterlife is perfect. I mean, I've had an experience where I've had an ego death happen to me, and I thought I died, and I was in heaven. That's what I thought. It was so perfect. Yeah. The feeling that I got was so perfect. I literally questioned, did I die in a car accident while coming here? Yeah. And I said, Lord, if this is the afterlife, don't send me back. And it was a perfect frequency. It was a perfect feeling. Ooh. And my life has changed since then. I have had experiences, like my friend passed away in front of me of brain aneurysm. I was heartbroken by it. And he, you know, one night I went to sleep, and I can tell you that this was not a dream. It felt too real. I was at a lake, and there was a picnic bench, and he was chilling on the picnic bench. And he said, Nick, I'm fine up here. The sand is so perfect. There's no rocks or shells in the sand. It's so smooth. And I looked at the lake, and the lake was like a crystal glass. It was perfectly straight and peaceful. There was like no waves. Wow. And it was very peaceful. And ever since then, I've been having experiences like when I was on my honeymoon. You know, I had a very close friendship with one of my pets, dogs, Gizmo, as a kid. And that's part of my story. She was a learning experience for me. But I've always missed her for a long time since 1994. She actually ran away from me, ran away from my home. And we couldn't find her for whatever reason. But it was part of my growth experience. But anyway, on my honeymoon, I was trying to look for gators in Florida. And I was chilling, you know, trying to throw rocks in the ponds and all that stuff. And I said, you know, it would be great to see Gizmo again. And that night, my grandmother came to me. And she came to me, it seemed like in this limbo type of void-like area between the afterlife and here. And she said, here's your dog. Here's your dog, Nick. And I pet my dog, and I stopped being sad about the dog. But, you know, that dog meant a lot to me. She's part of the story, trust me. But that dog had to run away for me to learn. I'm convinced. Yeah. I'm convinced.
You need to be where you're at.
A whole bunch of stuff. Yeah.
You know, the contrast that we experience in life, and this is something we talked about, Nick, on the phone. Like I was telling you, like how the Spirit said to me, the contrast we experience in life is for our growth and for our soul's growth. And, you know, even though we look at it in such a negative manner and our minds go to that default of negativity always because of our surroundings and how we grow up and all that kind of stuff, but it's really for our growth. And, you know, when you start looking at it from a different perspective, like how you did, I believe that that's where the growth comes from, is from looking at it from a different perspective. And I really love how you said that it was part of your growth.
Yeah. And you know what? We have a different identity up there than our names here on Earth. And you know what they do is when they send you back, they wipe you clean, your memory clean, and they wipe you of your abilities too, because we're not pathetic, cursed human beings. I'm sorry. You know, I think AJ, you could agree with me, like you've experienced similar stuff. We're not pathetic, cursed human beings that need to suffer and all this stuff. And you know what? We're actually spiritual beings. We are very spiritual. And that's why it's important for them to give us a regular, old, ordinary life here on Earth and wipe us clean of our spiritual abilities and our identity. And when you cross over, it's all going to make sense. And you know what? Death, I look at death as an achievement. I don't look at it as a sad thing. We're only here for a temporary purpose. It's not forever. And death is an achievement. And death happens when you have achieved your life lessons, your lessons. That's when death happens. And that's why, you know, they say the good die young. So that does make sense sometimes in a sense. Yeah. Death is an achievement. It's not a sad thing. Death should be celebrated. And you're only going to be here for a temporary amount of time. You know, that's,
and it goes like this. It goes just like that.
Exactly. You know, so, but death is an achievement. That's how I look at it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, they wipe you clean of your memory. They wipe you of your abilities up there.
That's why it's so shocking when you see these young children that come back and they have these reincarnation stories, and it makes you wonder, like, how come their minds weren't like completely wiped clean, and how come they remember? And I think it's Spirit's way of trying to show us, like, listen, like, you are more than what you really are. And like, that's why they do it through children, because you know, it says, you know, just like it says in the Bible, like have childlike faith. And I believe that what they're trying to say through that is, you know, that imagination we had as a kid, that belief we had as a kid in everything. And then when we get older, we get like hardened kind of almost because of our surroundings and the way we grow up and our parents telling us, oh, it's just an imaginary friend or all this kind of stuff. But in reality, we are so much more than just that. Like each cell in our body gives off a 0.001 of a volt. So you figure we have 30 trillion cells roughly. We're like a walking nuclear power plant. And that energy can't be destroyed.
Chemical system.
So imagine what we are, you know, if we really put our, and if we're able to control that energy and control our abilities, what we can actually accomplish, especially when it says in the Bible, when two or more gather, here he's there in his name. I believe that means when two people are together and they put their energy together, the possibilities are endless of what we can achieve. And that's why I love working with people like yourself and other people that come on the podcast, because that knowledge that can be spread can be just so empowering to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, but yeah, man. So I'm super excited, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
After these two events, we're going to start up our expedition after these two events. So that'd be cool.
Please shout out the event coming up again on October 20th and also the Salem one. So everyone can, or the Peabody one.
October 12th, Occult Paracon Peabody, Massachusetts, right on the Salem line. Everybody who buys a ticket could also join us on a complimentary ghost hunt after the event. We're going to go somewhere in Salem. So everybody from the convention that's bought a ticket, it could join Bill and myself on a ghost hunt. And we also have Edmond Town Hall, Newtown, Connecticut, Paranormal Legends Festival, October 20th. That's going to be really, really, really good. Both of them are going to be really good. We hope to see you. We always believe in originality and putting on cutting edge events. And we don't copy people. We do our own thing. We're creative people. You know, we're originality, always originality. That's my motto.
Nice.
You know,
nice. Bring that show on the road out here and we can go do some stuff.
Yeah. Amen to that though, brother.
I said, bring that show on the road and bring it out here and we'll go.
Yeah. Cool.
But anything else you'd like to say real quick, Nick, before we head out?
Yeah. I mean, right now we got a lot of stuff going on and, you know, it's going to be great. And just want to leave you guys with one last, drop you guys some knowledge if you guys are ready for this. The audience,
I put a spell on you because you're mine, not the things that you do. I lie. Yeah,
all right.
I love it, baby.
You know that
I
song?
I put it. A spell on Hell you. Yeah.
Golf clap, baby. Hey,
stop taking life too seriously. We're all guilty of it. Even myself, we take life way too serious. Just think of that song and you're going to be, you know, right? You're good.
Go to happy spots.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. Well, Nick, thank you so much, man, for joining us. I truly appreciate it, brother. I look forward to seeing you on the 20th and you also getting involved with the whole galactic, you know, it's going to just be
galactic
amazing.
Defense, baby. It's going to be amazing. We're going in. We're going in, bro.
I'm excited, brother. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us, my man. And we will see you definitely soon because we'll have you on again. And we'll definitely bring Bill on with you next time for sure.
Sounds like a plan, man.
All right, my man. Thank you so much for stopping by. God bless, brother.
God bless, man. Peace. Spirit fingers. I don't know.
All right, man. Let me pull back up the layout real here.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
So, man, tell me, what'd you think, man, of this amazing show, brother? I love having Nick on, man.
He's amazing.
He's the first time we got to have him on, but I get to talk to him all the time. And I tell you, man, he's been an amazing friend of mine for a while now. And he's just very knowledgeable.
Time flew, man.
Dude, time flew by. I was upset because there's so much more I wanted to talk about with him. But I just, you know, we go for an hour because if we go too long, you know, people kind of like lose interest. So I don't want to, you know, go for too long. But that's why we have him on again, man, you know?
Again and again and again.
Again and again and again. You know how
I
it
love
is.
These people. Yeah.
Wanty, thank you
Another
so much.
Another great podcast, really Wanty says. That.
Yeah, thank you so
Thanks,
much, Wanty. Wanty. Appreciate that.
And also you can get back on too sometime, Wanty, and bring Scott with you.
Yeah, For sure. Absolutely. And I tell you what, man, until next time, join us. Or actually, like I was going to say, anyone in Connecticut, join us, like Nick was saying, on October 20th, Paranormal Legends Convention with special guests Chris McKennell and Joe Frank from the Warren Legacy Foundation. It's Sunday, October 20th, 2024, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. As you see on the screen, there's going to be vendor fair, haunted artifact museum, psychic and mediums. I'm going to be speaking at the paranormal workshops and investigations in the haunted jail cell. So just go to www.edmondhall.org and you can find out more information about it.
Can you stream that, AJ, so I can watch you?
Yeah, definitely, man. I'll have one of my friends that are coming with me to definitely stream it for you so you can see it.
Cool.
So, but yeah, man, so we're looking forward to a lot this year, and I can't wait. It's going to be great. And coming 2025, we have some amazing stuff coming then too. But one thing I do want to speak about before we leave is Global Ghost Hunt. If you are a paranormal researcher or you have a team and you want to sign up to the Global Ghost Hunt event, or if you don't know what the Global Ghost Hunt event is, go to www.globalghosthunt.com. Basically, we stream live paranormal investigations from haunted locations, from teams from around the world. We all get together and we share our live investigations. And I tell you what, it's absolutely amazing. You want to be a part of it. So go to www.globalghosthunt.com and join us this October. And it's going to be for 10 days. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So don't miss out. But thank you so much, Chris, for joining me for this. Again, we wish John well.
Love you, John.
Love you, John. And, you know, we will definitely be back soon. So we'll see you next Sunday. But to everyone out there, thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you. And until next time. Y'all showed up.
Yep. Until next time, I'm AJ Capasso of Talking with the Source, and I'm with my good friend Chris.
And I'm with AJ.
All right, my man. Talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Later.
See ya.